This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, let's hit the guest line right now, shall we? Let's welcome aboard Vin Parisi, college hoops analyst, Fox Sports, locally in New York on SNY. Just cleared his throat as well. Good morning, Vin. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Moose and Bogue.
How's everything? All right. Vin, here, Andrew and I spent the first, hour of the show plus, end of the UVA Auburn game, right? How does an official on the court, A, miss the double dribble on Jerome, right? Number one. Two, I know it's a foul. That scenario, do you think that's the proper call and the foul on Kyle Guy down three, down two, sending him to the free throw line for three with Auburn leading that game with 62-60?
Well, first let's get to the double dribble. Nobody caught it live, and in fact, neither did. And Bill Raftery's the best, and the crew didn't even catch it on the instant replay. Gene Steratore had to come by 10 minutes later and show everyone. I think if he would have just lost the dribble in the backcourt, guys, and picked the ball back up with two hands and begin dribbling, it would have been an obvious double dribble. I think it was the behind the back off the foot. While the defender was on him tight, I don't know if it simulated a deflection, but you very rarely see that situation. I just know for a fact that happens often and it's not called. So it was interesting just to see how it developed. I know people are saying, "Oh, you got to be able to review that." Well, now if we're going to go back and dissect and review every little bit, what about the fact that they were grabbing and tugging him and trying to foul intentionally right before it too? So I mean, we can't get into that. In terms of Kyle Guy, that was a foul. That was called a foul every night of the season this year. And it's not so much about the body contact hitting, guys, as it is you have to be able to take a three-point shot and come down without a guy submarining your legs, as delicate as it could have been.
You think, though, at that stage, though, Vin, 1.5 seconds to go, inbounds play. You want that call being made? If you're Bruce Pearl, I know he bit his tongue after the game and was very politically correct. We saw him screaming and ranting like a madman after that call was made. Very similar. I had the issue with at the end of the Purdue-Tennessee game. At the end of this game, I get it's a foul. I understand it. I just look at the context of everything. I just don't love the call.
I hear you. I hear you from that standpoint, but they pride themselves on what's called in the first 2 minutes of the game needs to be called in the last 2 minutes of the game. I think that if you got all these coaches at a dinner or a golf outing and you interviewed all of them, when you take the emotion out of the game, just for consistency reasons, they would want it like that.
Sure.
I could almost flip it, the other way, Moose, as if that's called every single day of the season and that's not called on Saturday night, how are you feeling if you're Tony Bennett when you know you had a chance? I mean, at the end of the day, Kyle Guy still has to go to the line and go 3-for-3 from the line, which, by the way, only happens 48.6% of the time, is the guy going 3-for-3 on a three-point foul.
And then last night, you had one of the best players in the women's game at the line hit two for Notre Dame to tie and extend that game, and she misses the first one. So, it's certainly not an easy thing to get Kyle Guy to do that. Now, Vin, we go ahead to the game tonight, and me and Moose really both like Texas Tech, but then I keep remembering that Tariq Owens was in a walking boot yesterday, and obviously that's a huge, huge question mark for this one tonight. Can they win if he's not Tariq Owens?
Yeah, I'm nervous about that one, too, because he's such a big part of what they do. And it's not even so much about the block shots with him as it is the altering of shots. And their ball pressure is so elite, Andrew, that they funnel guys to the paint sometimes for just low-percentage looks. He's gotten a lot better offensively since he's left St. John's there as well. It's going to be interesting to see, how that ankle comes out. Here's the thing about Texas Tech tonight. Their defense is going to be good enough. You know this is going to be a rock fight, and their offense has been just good enough throughout. But I just know that Virginia is going to come at Culver the same way as Saturday. And, you know, if remember this, guys, if Matt Mooney doesn't go on that three straight three-point field goals in that three-minute stretch midway through the second half, Texas Tech might not pull this one out, because that's what led to that 13-point cushion
right
down the stretch. They held Culver to 10 points. I just think Virginia has a little bit more offense left in the tank. They've left a lot on the table offensively. And, you know, I think they're going to control tempo with the ball in Ty Jerome's hands the majority of the night.
You know, were you surprised at how, I mean, I guess you can't be surprised about anybody struggling offensively against Texas Tech. What surprised you most about Michigan State's performance Saturday night against the Red Raiders?
You know, they out Michigan State. Michigan State, and coming into this one, guys, the big thing that everyone was keeping their eye on from our standpoint was, you know, ball movement and how guys could play off of Cassius Winston. And, you know, I think just, you know, the personnel and some of the Colts shooting spells and everything that Izzo eluded the last 3 or 4 weeks but was able to get bailed out by Cassius Winston wound up catching up to them. And now you've got a Michigan State team who, you know, they were averaging 19, 20 assists per game. Now all of a sudden you go against a Texas Tech team that only gives up 9 assists per game. And what does that mean? That means that they get teams to go one-on-one, isolation, late in the shot clock and have to make an NBA-type play. That is not Michigan State. And I thought eventually they could get by more on the backboards. I knew that Texas Tech's defense was great, but, you know, I mean, when you look at Mooney and these veteran grad transfers, I mean, eventually you got to make big shots. You could be the best defensive team in the world. You need some big shot making, and the Spartans didn't have enough in the tank.
Vin, I said this last hour. You've coached this game your whole life. You played it. I think getting teenagers and, you know, 20-somethings to play defense for a full 40 minutes might be the hardest thing a coach can do in basketball, maybe across all sports. So does that begin in recruiting? Is that going out there and finding kids that want to play defense? How does this all begin for Coach Baird to get them to where they are now, leading the way with defense?
Yeah, that's a great point. And this is what makes Texas Tech's program so unique, because when you think of this on paper, this shouldn't be happening. The guy loses 4 starters from an Elite Eight team, and then has
goes farther.
Win it all.
Yeah.
This is what it is. Is usually you're trying to talk elite offensive players into playing defense. That's why we always give Calipari credit later in the year. But for all the talk about recruiting, whether it's Duke, North Carolina, you know, one and done, it's always about the offensive player, which ranks a player. Chris Beard and his staff at Texas Tech actually go about it the other way. They recruit for defense. And I think, Andrew, the biggest misnomer that fans have is that they think that defense and rebounding is all just about heart and hustle. Well, no, it's not. You also need foot speed. You also need strength. You also need agility. They recruit for that in a strategic way, like an NFL team. And they went after Tariq Owens for a reason. And then what they do is that they develop guys offensively. I mean, if you remember Zaire Smith, who went number 16 in the NBA draft last year, he wasn't a top 100 kid
right
when he got to Texas Tech. And now they've made Culver into a lottery pick. No one had this kid as a lottery pick. So they develop guys offensively, but they base their recruiting over the defensive end. And, you know, that's a new conventional way, you know, almost the way coaching staffs try to mimic the Patriots now in the NFL.
Right.
I'm interested to see if college basketball coaches try to start mimicking this Texas Tech philosophy.
We're talking to Vin Parisi, Fox Sports, SNY locally in New York, college hoops analyst, former assistant. Vin, tonight, I mean, you're leaning Virginia. Let's get a couple keys. You're a Texas Tech fan driving around right now listening to the program. Give me a couple keys for the Red Raiders for them to cut down the nets. What do you need to see from Beard's team tonight for them to beat Virginia?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, DeAndre Hunter hasn't, you know, like Culver, you know, hasn't had, you know, the offensive explosions recently that they had during the regular season. the key is that they're going to have to put, you know, these are two elite defenses, but it's in different ways. Virginia has the pack line defense. They like to contain. They like to contest. They like to guard you as a group, and they like to make you take tough twos. Texas Tech is about denying pressure, not allowing you to reverse the basketball, making post passes difficult. So if you're Texas Tech tonight, you know, you could contain these guys. You could pressure these guys. The issue is going to be, do you take advantage of your possessions? Because you're not going to get a lot of possessions. They're going to walk the ball up, and Ty Jerome's going to use 20 to 25 seconds of the shot clock tonight. And say what you want about DeAndre Hunter and Kyle Guy and everything, this team is playing for a national championship Monday night because Ty Jerome has been fantastic from the Purdue game on and in. And if you look, that fourth silly foul that he got against Auburn, that's when Auburn went on the 9-0 run in that 3 minutes that he had to go to the bench. I think that he's going to control the game. And, you know, I think that eventually Virginia just makes them play at their speed offensively.
All right, but, I mean, you know, for Texas Tech, do you need Mooney to give you a 20-plus? Do you need Culver? I mean, Culver only gave you a 10. You know, what do you need to see from Culver tonight offensively? Minimizing possessions here, I agree with that. Defensively, you know, you look at Virginia, the options they have offensively, Vin. But individually, yeah, when you look at Texas Tech, Culver's obviously, if they're winning the game tonight, I know they survived the national semifinal. They can't beat Virginia with Culver's giving you 10.
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm going, Moose. We're talking about the same thing. Is I don't know if they could check enough boxes offensively to get by Virginia.
Gotcha.
With this one, because I don't know if Mooney could replicate that. Once again, if Mooney doesn't go on that scoring spurt, you know, they may not even be here that Monday night. And listen, Virginia's going to have their game plan built around Culver. Culver's going to be a lottery pick, and Culver's an unbelievable talent. But in college basketball games like this, where the offense is going to control tempo with a point guard that's going to walk it up, he's not going to get enough reps. It's going to take him out of his rhythm. And I think Culver and Mooney, there's going to be way more pressure on them now to hit deep contested threes. I don't think he's going to be able to get into the lane and create the way he normally does. Tariq Owen gives them a pop offensively when he's not shot blocking inside, but he's got that ankle situation that we have to look at. It's very interesting here. You know, as much as you want to rely on the defensive end, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they bring on the other end of the floor.
Vin, every once in a while, games like this don't go in the direction that we think they're going to go. Is there any chance in your mind this game is more about offense than defense when we're talking about it tomorrow morning?
I don't know. I could see this game being in the 20s at halftime. I just think it's going to be a pure rock fight. You know, neither team is style is going to be conducive to getting up and down, putting points on the board, getting out. Now, Texas Tech can score off their defense in transition. I'm not saying they can't get an easy run out, but Virginia is really going to limit possessions. And, you know, late in the shot clock, Tony Bennett has more perimeter options, I think, to bail themselves out.
We're chatting with Vin Parisi. You like Virginia tonight in the national championship game, correct?
Yeah. I took them when I was with you, Moose, on Selection Sunday. I know some of these predictions have went off-road. But you know, I'm gonna stick with the Cavs here from Monday night.
All right, a couple of the other things in college basketball, Vin, want to get your thoughts. This UCLA job, you know, reports are Barnes from Tennessee would be interested in the job if offered. They kicked the tires on Calipari from Kentucky. He decided he got a lifetime deal with UK. You know, how attractive of a job is this UCLA job? A, B, do you think Rick Barnes would be a good hire by the Bruins?
Yeah, I think Rick Barnes is, you know, is great, and he has a great staff. He's had a great staff. You know, now Rob Lanier to, you know, Georgia State is interesting, but I still think that UCLA is a top 20 job. To me, this still seems like Rick Barnes is going to flirt. Maybe, you know, it helps with his current situation and he winds up staying. I don't see him pulling the trigger on this. I could be wrong. I still think UCLA is a top 20 job. Where I'm puzzled is what have they been doing the last two or three months? I mean, for this high profile of a job to be open, for them to know that they're going to make a move, you know, almost similar to when Kentucky knew that they were going to make the move from Gillespie and go all in on Cal. I just don't know where their game plan has been. I mean, you can't tell me that for 3 months their game plan was to huddle in a room and throw less money at John Calipari than he's making at Kentucky. I mean, it's really unbelievable. It makes no sense. And now you're not making it lucrative, or you're not, you know, selling it enough to where the Mick Cronins and other guys like that of the world have come. I also think there's a little bit of that New York Yankees pressure in the back of coaches' heads when they look at the fact that, you know, Ben Hallen had that type of success, you know, going to that many Final Fours and got ran out of town. I think it's beyond what happened to Steve Alford. You got to make sure that you got the right guy, but you got to get the right guy that's going to embrace that entire situation, because UCLA is a whole nother animal.
And Vin, I'd be thinking they were waiting on Tony Bennett if they weren't out there making offers for other legitimate head coaches. I mean, they clearly don't have any, you know, it's not like they know Bennett's coming to them. They're just biding their time until he's done playing. I'm with you. They think this is UCLA and they've known for a long time. We should know by now who their next head coach is.
I could also see the fact that they're just waiting to talk to Bennett and they don't even know or have any ducks in a row yet. I mean, just knowing Tony Bennett and his wife and how involved they are in that Virginia community and their church and their faith, and look at what he's been through between last season's adversity and now if this goes down with a national championship this year, I just don't see him as a Los Angeles, UCLA type of guy. You know who I think actually would have been good out there? I always thought Musselman could have gotten it done out there, because I think that UCLA is at the point now to where, you know, they could go a little bit outside the box. He's dealt with that high-profile pro pressure from his NBA.
He's kind of cool. He's young.
He's kind of a guy that would embrace the fan base.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see. You know, Beard is not going to be long. I mean, he's not going right now, but he's not going to be long for Texas Tech. If I'm Chris Beard, I mean, some massive program is going to throw you a lot of money, and a big-time program here in the not-so-distant future.
No doubt, no doubt. I mean, look, guys, think of this. This team was preseason picked to come in seventh in the Big 12. Seventh. Yeah. And this guy's playing for a national championship game.
I was rooting for Michigan State. You know that on Saturday night, Vin.
I know that movie.
You let me down, Vin.
Party green sweater on. I apologize. That was I.
Hey, Vin, appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the championship game tonight. We'll chat again soon, all right?
Thank you, boys. You as well.
Thanks, Vin
Parisi, Fox Sports. College hoops analyst, SNY locally in New York as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.